It's going to be like a flash of light. It's the news, according to me. Good Thursday morning, September 26th, 7:55 a.m., 2024. I am your host. It's going to be a very quick show, very fast show, hence the flash of light comment at the beginning. I am going to be, I just saw this. Message from the messenger thing. Somebody sent me a meme picture of Kamala Harris. Oh my goodness. Crazy people. I have a lot of things to talk about this morning, but no time to talk about. So there you go. It looks like I'm gonna have a show this morning because, you know, that's what I'm doing. I'm having a show. Hopefully I have time to get this thing posted for your listening pleasure. I even have so little time, I don't even have a backup cup this morning. I have, I'm kind of thinking about making some tea before I go, but that would take some time too. So if everything comes together, I might just have time to make some sweet peach tea this morning. But I'm kind of doubting that. So I have my chai with Cinnabon creamer. It's all I've got this morning to carry me through this show. And it should kick me, because this show is not going to be very long. I have some things to attend to today, and then I have to potentially, there might be a show tomorrow morning. If there is a show, it's going to be from the boat, probably, unless it's a show later in the day from somewhere in some undisclosed location, some weird place who knows where I have, but otherwise it's going to be here. So I have, a lot going on over the week. There's a possibility that Monday I may have a show from Des Moines, Iowa. That's in the morning. It's a possibility. And then Tuesday there will be a show. Wednesday possibly a show. Probably not. We'll see how that goes. But we'll just see how things go over the next couple of weeks. I've got a lot of time booked here in the next couple of weeks. It's going to take me away from the show. Not that that's, you know, a huge revenue drawer here in this in our household. It's we don't exactly make a lot of money on the show. It's not even a tax write off. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing, I think is what it is. Something from nothing leaves nothing. I don't know what it is. However the words of that song go. Let's talk a little bit about some of the stuff that's going on. Namely, the fact that this cup is very close to my face. That's one thing that's going on, is I'm just drinking that stuff. That's good. It's good. I feel it all the way down. It is, not terribly cold outside. I think it's around 60 something degrees, I guess, 65, whatever it is. Supposed to be kind of cool in the evenings now, getting up in the 70s. So it should be some pretty pleasant weather. Hopefully I can spend most of it on the boat. Good sleeping weather and good daytime weather, just to be out hanging around. So we'll see how that works out. Don't know. I have a couple things I want to talk about. There's some information, some details coming out about the January 6th issue, some of those kinds of things. There's also about the feds that were there. Folks, we have a problem with the federal agencies in this nation right now. I think that this is all, we should have been reading the handwriting on the wall back in 2016. Should have sent alarm bells up everywhere. And of course it wasn't, because the Dems didn't get on board with this. They don't care about corruption as long as it helps them out. This comes back to the core belief that they have of the end justifies the means. Peter Strzok, think about this. Peter Strzok, Andy McCabe, all these people that were involved in this whole thing about this Russia dossier thing that the feds were putting together, the spying that happened on Donald Trump, presidential candidate, everything that was going on there. Think about all that stuff that was going on. Do you think for a moment that someone in the Republican, if they would have been spying on a Democrat, and the Democrats were in charge, do you think for a moment that they would have just let that slide? First of all, do you think that CNN and MSNBC would have hired them as commentators and contributors, put them on their payroll, offered them a contract? Do you think that they would be, you know, how much longer do you think they'd have to spend in prison? At what point in their term now would they be in prison? How far would that have gone? They'd probably still be in prison for that. They would have been enemies of the state. Probably some of them hung probably for what they did. I'm saying if the shoe was flipped around, the shoe was on the other hand. Sometimes I get confused. If that were the case, how many jobs do you think they'd be offered by the local media? By local, I mean DC media. Andy McCabe and Peter Strzok and all these other people have been offered, just people like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger being offered contributor spots, being offered pampered, patted on the head, thinking, oh, look at me. They love me. They love me now. They love me on the media. The media loves me because the only reason they love you is because you're a turncoat. Look, we got one of them. Even this guy's a Republican, and even he says Donald Trump is evil. They will use you. And you won't even know you're being used, apparently. This is the sign of someone who has no, first of all, self-awareness. Also, they just have no moral fortitude. They have this phony, faux sense of, I'm going to parade my virtue around in front of everybody, thinking that they're, look at me, I'm so virtuous that I'm willing to go against my own party because this man is so evil and blah, blah, blah. I'm playing into this whole thing. That's just, you're an absolute idiot just at that point. I don't know what else to say about you. I have no other words. It's idiotic. It's asinine. It's just plain stupid. We'll see how it works out for you. If the shoe was on the other foot and all these things would have happened, the double standard is, of course, always incredibly thick and rich. But, you know, they still do it. In so many of these agencies that they now we have the Secret Service who's being very, and people always say, well, the Secret Service they're apolitical. They don't care about what the politics are. They have one job and they don't care what it is. They don't care what your politics are. Excuse me. The FBI, we were told for years, is an upstanding organization, and they have no political agenda. They just follow the facts, just the facts, ma'am. And yet, at the higher levels of the FBI, there were these people who had insurance policies, these people who had a political agenda. No way. No, 1,000,000 to 1 or whatever it is. No way he makes, he becomes the president. But if he does, we have an insurance policy. That is as damaging as anything you can ever, those kinds of words should not be getting uttered at any level of the FBI, the CIA, the MSA, the OSI, the DOD, the IRS, the PBS, and any of those organizations should not be uttering those kinds of words. And yet they do. So, it is very possible that there are corrupt people within the Secret Service who really are not very motivated to do their job and protect a potential president of the United States because of their personal opinions. And it's just, it is shameful. We have people like Bill Barr. The establishment is still very much alive. I wouldn't say it's well, but I would say the establishment is still very much alive. We have now this, apparently Speaker Johnson, who I thought was going to be somebody who I could really respect. And it turns out, within the first week, he let me down. And he's continued to let me down every time he seems to do something. However, what they just were able to get through, there's some kind of funding, I guess. Now, I'm not real big on all the stuff. I don't necessarily like Johnson. But what ended up happening here, because we could run into the same problem we ran into in 2016. As soon as Trump got into office in 2017, a bunch of the Republicans fought against him. The establishment Republicans didn't want to be associated with the guy. They voted against his wall. They wouldn't fund anything. Of course, then they'll all say, well, I voted 98% for, yeah, but the 2% of things that you really needed to vote for that were really his agenda, he had some big spending bills. He had some big spending he wanted to do. On the wall, think about the spending. Think of what it's cost us to not have a wall. What was it? It was like $4 billion it was going to take to make the whole wall, I think, or something like that. It has cost us, I think, $27 billion or something to that effect in the illegal immigration heist that has gone on, all the things that we're funding in that whole process. And that number is probably low. So, yeah, we would have saved us money to make that investment back then. Of course, they would have probably just torn it down. The Biden administration would have spent $2 billion tearing it down. But nonetheless, the people voted against it, and now that we don't have one, and now they won't ever admit that they were wrong because they have morals and standards. Oh, can't support such an evil man. Evil, he's evil. I have to resign so that I will not be part of this. So I can... Yeah, mess over the entire party. So we have this kind of thing going on. And now, keep in mind that the powers that be within the establishment are still prowling about. They're still trying to be relevant in this whole process. Now, this time, if and when he wins, if he makes it all the way there, and they've established some kind of policy. They've put something in place so that I think there's over 500 executive orders he's going to sign basically to get things back in line on day one. It's a lot of pens, I'm going to say. And in the process of that, hopefully... The way this is panning out is that they've just passed some kind of legislation to fund every single one of them. I guess they're going to be able to fund every single executive order. And they've already passed this some kind of bill to do that. And actually, Johnson was, I guess, instrumental in making that happen. So now I think that they realize that, hey, these policies were good. We fought against them. It's time to get behind this stuff because they're good policies. Now, the Agenda 2025 thing... That is more, I would say that is more a step. The conservatives now also have a little bit of an establishment thing going on. They are not necessarily in lockstep with Trump, and which I don't. That's fine. I don't have to be. There are some things on the 2020-25 agenda that I would say I would agree with. A lot of it, but there are some things in there that are I don't like. Again, we come back to this whole thing of Zelensky was over here again from Ukraine, going on a rampant tour of munitions factories and that kind of thing. And every time he comes here, he's looking for money. And of course, I think Biden, Biden didn't probably even know who he is, but Trump made his little joke about that guy. He's quite a salesman. Every time he comes over here, he walks away with $40 billion. And he doesn't every time. I think they're up to like $125 billion now, something like that. But every time he comes here, he gets, he makes the sale. Now, this Shapiro guy, who I think is he governor? I don't know who he is. He's somebody in Pennsylvania. Is he senator, congressman, governor, whatever he is. He was potentially he was on the short list of being Kamala's running mate, I guess. He was in a photo op over the weekend with Zelensky, literally signing his name on one of the bombs, one of the munitions there that they were making in the factory that are going to be shipped off to Ukraine. There's some spiritual significance to that. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole, but there's something about that. I think that you have to realize what that means. There's these harbingers there's these things that happen that kind of stand out, and they sometimes are significant in the way they mean something. I think everything means something. I don't think that that's necessarily can make something out of every little thing, but I think you have to be careful about what you make out of every little thing. I think God is trying to speak to us in every way he can in every regard. I saw a leader one time, was a leader in a church organization, stood up to speak just to make a quick announcement, and dropped a piece of paper. They had little notes on. They dropped it. And in the process of trying to get the notes, they grabbed the paper, put it back up again, and started over again. And it was in that moment, the way it all happened and what was being said, somehow I knew in that moment that what God was saying was that that person's not going to be where they are. That person's they've lost their position. They've lost their. I can't remember how it was that it actually spoke to me that moment, but it was obvious what was happening there. And this what was interesting about that, I didn't realize it at the time. I just thought, well, that's kind of coincidental, isn't it? And it wasn't even 30 days the person resigned. Now, at the same time, about a year later, a very similar thing happened at another church. And I was reminded of what happened the year before. This was a different person altogether, different church, different everything. And I said, surely this can't mean the same thing. That person has resigned from that church. Now, this is just one little example in many, many things that I've seen happen like this. It's things like, the little coincidences that have happened where there's some kind of spirit. And where I learned this was this guy, I knew a guy back in the, must have been in the 80s. It was before I was married. And this guy, he was a new believer, and God spoke to him in the ways that I have just, it just blew my mind how, the kind of relationship this guy had with God and the way God would speak to him and through him. And one of the things, because he's like a brand new believer, just like really new, very, it came from an unchurched background. Very hungry for everything and anything I had to do with anything with God. And he was constantly, you know, he'd come home from work and just turn on videos and music and anything he could get his hands on. This is back before the internet was, you know, a thing. And we'd just listen to anything he could. He had DVDs and CDs and television, whatever else he could get his hands on. And, you know, in reading scripture and doing, still had like a Bible on tape. He'd play that all day long. But he was just hungry. He just, you know, some of you maybe have had those kind of days. And he had a passion, that first love experience kind of thing. And he interestingly enough, he would say things. This one thing that really stood out to me. He had this friend whose name was Mike. And he had this business. Mike had a business. And Mike was trying to do, you know, this work stuff. And he was trying to do this. And apparently, the business was kind of getting in the way of this guy's, you know, what God was calling him to do. And without reading anything into it, the guy, he said he saw it. There was a vending company at that time. And the name of the vending company was called Mike Sells. It was Mike. And then his last name, the guy's name was Mike Sells. And it was Sells, I think, is just Mike Sells. That was his name. And he had this, all of his trucks, he had this thing called, said Mike Sells. I don't know if it's still in business or not. I don't know if he's still in this area or not. This was years and years ago. And he said one day he was just driving along. He was sitting at a stoplight and his truck goes through the intersection and it said Mike Sells on it. Now he'd seen these trucks hundreds of times. Truck went through there and said Mike Sells. And he told me, he said, yeah, that's Mike. Mike's going to sell his business. I said, oh, did he tell you that? No, I saw this truck go through there that says Mike Sells. I haven't even talked to him about it. But I just heard God say, tell him Mike Sells. Mike's going to sell. It was a very successful business. It was doing very well, and he was like had no inclination of anything happening. He said, nope, Mike Sells. It wasn't 2 weeks later, next time he talked to him, because hey, I've decided to sell my business. I have to sell it. He goes, kind of life circumstances actually led to it, but he was like, this is the thing that makes the most sense for me to do is just sell my business. It's just that kind of stuff would happen to this guy. And then there was, you know, there's all these different, and the book, The Harbinger, I think kind of relit some of that kind of for me. Jonathan Kahn, he wrote a book about this kind of thing, about some of the things that happen in life, you know, that some world leader is speaking at a big conference in some kind of, you know, or at some kind of big public event, and a cat walks over across the screen or across the front of the table or whatever and sits down and gets up and walks, you know, continues to walk on. And that in that culture, a cat has significance and speaks a certain thing. And of course, this all meant something. And of course, it wasn't even 60 days later that this whole thing had blown apart. And it all meant something. That cat basically was shown to be the harbinger, that this was speaking something. So, what are the harbingers of today? So it's just interesting stuff. And I think it's, you know, God speaks to people. He just wants to speak to us where we are in any way he can, in any way he can find to get our attention. He's interacting with his people. I think he just wants to continue to say, hey, point. There are things in my life, especially dealing with numbers and certain things that continue to pop up all the time. And it's not so much that they mean something specific necessarily, but it's always kind of interesting that those things I think that it's more about God just pointing out, you know, making me aware of his interaction with me more than anything. It's not really trying to give me any big heavy revies about anything. It's just, I think he enjoys the fact that I notice them. I notice those things that are, you know, that he's there. He's pointing them out. It's kind of thing. Yeah. more than anything. So there you go. That's where, that's all I've got for you today. But we have this craziness that's going on, I think, in our bureaucrat society behind the scenes, that it's the unelected bureaucrats, otherwise known as the deep state, in our country. And I think we need to be very careful moving forward. Draining the swamp is going to be incredibly hard. Now, I think RFK Jr., I think is going to be he understands the swamp. He has been living, you know, he claims that, you know, Sirhan didn't even kill his dad. He physically, someone who shoots the shot, shoots the gun, whatever. I'm not sure if he's saying that he didn't shoot the gun, but he was actually, the whole thing was a setup. The deep state couldn't afford to have another Kennedy in office because, you know, Robert F. Kennedy knew the inside. He was an AG. He was the AG for a while and understood what was going on. He probably had access to all kinds of things. And the powers that be behind the scenes couldn't afford to have another one of those in office. So I think that was part of what was going on there. What a coincidence that, you know, JFK would be taken out, and then all his brother starts to run for president, and all of the next thing you know, he gets killed too. Yeah. So, I think it's pretty obvious to most people that there was some nefarious activity going on there, and there's some very good evidence of that. So we have before us, as we're pushing into the weekend here, some just keep your eye on October as we get closer to October. I want to share just this one thing. I've been kind of holding off on sharing this all week, and I may not have a chance to share it tomorrow, so I just want to share it today. I believe, because I firmly believe, and I understand that the leftists and the fanatic fear that has gripped an entire large chunk of our population in the form of the leftist agenda, the collectivist mentality, and the fear of Donald Trump and the monster that they've made him out to be, and all that, everything else that's going on. Knowing that their core principle is the end justifies the means, knowing that all these things are, this is just who they are. I want to be very clear about something. I believe they will have what's called a black swan event. They are realizing right now that Kamala Harris is failing and flailing miserably in everything that's going on. Now, I think that the last, I told a family member, I consider him a friend, but a family member of mine, I said something about, so do you think anything will change? If you know, when do you think Joe Biden's going to step down from being president? When do you think he's going to resign? And he was kind of taken back by that. He's like, why would Joe Biden resign? Why, again, I asked the question that no one can answer. Why did Joe Biden step down from being president, from running for president? Why did he step down from his campaign? Who can answer that question? Who, please tell me. Has anybody on the left, has anybody in the campaign, either campaign, have any of them answered that question? What exactly is the reason you stepped down from your campaign? Is it the unspoken thing that everybody knows, that you are incompetent and you were unable to do a debate because you're completely off your rocker? Is that what it is? We're just not saying it? Because no one has admitted to that. No one has said that. And yet we all know it to be the case. So everyone's asking, who's really in charge here? Who's running the country right now? Who's actually in charge? It goes to a cabinet meeting, and it turns it over to Jill. Very unusual. She sits there with her smart little looking glasses on and talking in her little voice. Now this, by the way, her voice, it's terrifying to me. Not because she's dangerous, because things have happened in her past. I've heard people's, look, this whole voice thing sometimes kind of creeps me out a little bit, because I know things about people when I hear them speak that I just don't really want to know. She's one of those people. Let's just say she'd had a very rough upbringing. Some things have happened in her past. And probably part of that, of course, is the whole creepy, weird attraction to Joe. If you know where I'm going with that, then good for you. If you don't, I'm not going to explain it. So we have the this issue of who's running the country right now. And of course, they're running Kamala as if we need change. We need this. Instead of having hope and change, now it's just change. Because, you know, hope and change was taken by Barack Obama. Now if you look at Kamala, if you study the way she's, if you see that we see her actions, the way she operates, everything except for this chest caved, elbows up, cackling thing that she does, and she tries to explain something, and she's got her hands all over the place, and there's this weird body language thing that goes on there because she's uncertain about what she's saying, and she's trying to paint a picture because she doesn't have the words. She's not articulate enough to just say what she wants to say. And she repeats herself over and over because we love our country. We love our country. And we love our country because we have love for our country, and we love our country. That's just filling in space and time. It's just rhetoric. It's what they call it, word salad, whatever you call it. It's just blah, blah, blah. But in the meantime, they're saying all this, and they're acting like she had nothing to do with the previous administration. They're acting like Donald Trump. They're acting like they're running against an incumbent, that's Donald Trump is the incumbent. And they're pulling it off because the media is allowing it to happen. And because, you know, it's a DEI hire, basically. That's, well, we got to have a black woman now. Because, you know, that'll save the country. So, all this crazy, wacky stuff going on. In the meantime, they're realizing that she's not doing so well. You know, all the chatter, all the clatter. My opinion is that the last thing that they're going to do to try to pull this off is to have Joe Biden, right before the election, resign. Step down, and Kamala will be the president. Now, this is what's dangerous about this, and I've talked about this before. There's a couple dangerous things about this. One is, if she is the sitting president, I don't know that we've ever had a situation challenge this since the term limits have been in place for the president. Is this considered a term? I would argue that yes, this would be considered a term. Regardless of who it was, I would have said that Gerald Ford could not have run had he won the election against Jimmy Carter in 76. If he had won that election, he would not have been able to run again in 1980. If Kamala is the sitting president on January 20th, and she's, you know, on January 19th, I should say, she would not be able to run for another term if she won in November, if she's already the president, she would not be able to run another term. Now, this is what I think that they're going to do here. I think they're fully aware of this. So they want her to be a two-termer. So they're not going to have Joe resign, because then that would serve one term and she wouldn't be able to run for another term. That's my opinion. I think that they would probably try to push that, make it happen anyway. Well, you know, she was only in office for 30 days. Whatever. So they would say, "Oh, I didn't count it. That's not a term." Well, what is a term then? Tell me what a term is. If it would have been 30 days into Joe's presidency and he would have resigned, and she became the president, then would that be a term? Well, yeah, that'd be a term. Well, then what's the date? So this is kind of like, when is abortion legal? Give us a date. Well, nobody's important. It's just they make these arguments all the time about, but you can't get them nailed down on what is. The limitation. What is the restriction you'd put on it? Well, we can't put a restriction on it. It's between you and your doctor. Also, up to 9 months. Well, you know, nobody's advocating for that. Yeah, there are people advocating for that. Don't say nobody, because there are people that do that. It's like Whoopi Goldberg saying nobody's eating cats and dogs. Yes, there are people who eat cats and dogs. There are people who do that, and it's not so much that they're eating them. It has to do with witchcraft and voodoo. That's where the problems are. There's a large portion of the population of Haiti believes in voodoo, and they're doing that kind of stuff. They may not even be eating the cats and dogs. They might just be using the bones. We don't know. Anyway, so the craziness of this whole thing is that if they have to play this out just right. I'm sure they've got it all on a calendar, probably. So if this doesn't happen by then, if we're here in the poll, they realize they're behind in the polls right now. In fact, most swing states, they are nervous as all get out right now. The Teamsters won't even endorse Kamala. I think it's close to 70% of people in unions right now are supporting Trump on the internal polling. The union I'm a part of has not endorsed anyone. They always endorse. This year they have not endorsed. They haven't even announced that they're going to. They haven't even said they're not going to endorse. They just haven't endorsed. So if Kamala wins in November, Joe Biden will carry out his term and there will be a transfer of power on January 20th. Now, it won't be peaceful, though, because Donald Trump promised a bloodbath. So I guarantee you they will have the symbolism will be that they will have to lock down the Capitol. They will have fences everywhere. They will only allow certain people into the Capitol grounds during the inauguration. I'm sure that's going to be part of, you know, because that goes, oh, he's going to attack us. And he's going to overthrow the government. What? How does that work? Just because you've stopped a ceremony? That's all the count was on January 6th was just a ceremony, obviously. It's not going to stop who wins the election. It's just stupid, crazy stuff. So what might happen is that if she loses, now there's two different ways they can do this. One is right before the election, maybe I'd say about 2 weeks, probably about the that's probably right in the zone there. They probably got it all down to a science, but probably about 2 weeks prior, or maybe three, first week of October, something like that, here in the next couple of weeks, Joe Biden decides to resign, making her the president. Now, this is going to be based on polling, and if they do that, then you know that they know they're going to lose. And because this is kind of a Hail Mary, they need to get the, oh, look, we have the first female president. She's now president of the United States. She's got all this experience because she's the president now. So we've shown that a black woman can be a president. Well, yeah, that doesn't take much to do that, does it? So now she's a president. Now she's an incumbent. And they get all this hoopla again. They just have all this celebration. And they do the whole thing. They try to develop another honeymoon phase. So people will show up at the polls and vote for her. Oh, this is exciting. Yeah, she's doing a great job. She's been president for 2 weeks. Woo! Look at the excitement. Plus, they get the feather in their cap of saying they had the first black president, female president. That's their big thing. That's what they want. And next will be Pete Buttigieg. And then some trans person. Because that's important. So that's what their whole agenda is now. So that we get this whole thing going. If that doesn't work, I think that if they realize that even that doesn't work, there's two different Hail Marys that they might pull here. One is that one. And if that doesn't work, they're going to turn around and try to do something very much more nefarious. I think probably much more dangerous for our lives with regard to infrastructure, probably, you know, either the power grid going down, the internet going down, some kind of mass event that will affect us all. Of course, if they say it's monkeypox or something else too, that's always another possibility. If they have another pandemic, look, conveniently we have another pandemic. Oh no, everybody stay home. Those of you who didn't mail in your votes, then so too bad. It could even go to the point where we have an EMP and it gets blamed on somebody else, because they are rattling up things and saying, telling us now that Russia is planning on some kind of tactical nuclear strikes against Ukraine now. So, of course, if they started doing that, then that involves us in a nuclear war. And for some reason, we're supposed to support Ukraine, who has been one of the most corrupt countries on the planet. Sure, there's no money laundering going on there. So, I think we're in for an interesting month here ahead of us. Today's the 26th. We have just over a month. What is it, 6 weeks until the election, something like that. A little less than that, I guess. 5 weeks, whatever it is. A little over five. A little less than six. So we have the... things are going to unravel here at some point. I think that they're going to start throwing fits, because they're realizing that nothing gives Kamala a real bump. Everything seems to just kind of be not even a pothole. It's more of just a, what was that? We ran over a pine cone. And so they're not getting any kind of a real bump out of this whole thing. It's just been kind of this little blurb. Much like they told us that the recession was supposed to, or the inflation was supposed to be like, this is just transitory inflation. It's going to be a blip. It's kind of like every event she's ever had. And it just starts falling apart, and people just aren't impressed. So we'll see. But I think that they're starting to panic. And panic and fear never helps anybody. But I think that's where they're going with all this. So they're going to start going into a reaction mode. And that's dangerous. Whenever you get into that mode of things. Because then you just start throwing anything at the wall, trying to get something to stick. And I think that we're at that point now. And it's going to be, who cares? Damn the torpedoes, full steam ahead. We got to keep doing this. We have to protect ourselves from the orange man and his evil agenda. Evil. So there we are. Folks, thank you for listening. Thank you for praying for our nation, praying for me, praying for each other. God bless. Have a great rest of your week. If I don't get to talk to you tomorrow, if I do, then yay. If I don't, let's do it. Talk to you later. Bye.